The message tonight is based on the gospel reading that I've just read. I won't read that again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your abounding grace to us. Thank you for your love for us, that you would send Jesus to become a human being, the Word made flesh, and to dwell among us. Help us to receive him and all of his gifts. In his name, amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, in October, the Queen of Australia, Queen Elizabeth II, Her Majesty, visited this country. And there was much fervour and excitement about the royal visit, particularly here in Melbourne, where thousands of people turned out just across the road here in Federation Square in the hope of meeting Her Majesty, or at least of catching a glimpse of her. Now, while the Queen was in Melbourne, it was arranged that she would travel on one of Melbourne's iconic pieces of public transport, a Z-class tram. And you may remember the television footage, or you may have seen the tram itself, of all painted up in royal red, white and blue, with Royal Tram emblazoned right across the side. Now, this is the kind of tram that I travel in to work from Coburg every morning on, and they're old, and they rattle, and they're not necessarily fit for a queen. But the queen, by her presence, gave honour to this royal tram. I looked up a newspaper article from just before the queen arrived, and I'd just like to read you a couple of paragraphs from that. The newly painted Z-class tram will carry the royal couple from Federation Square along Swanston Street to Government House Drive tomorrow. During its launch today at the Brunswick Tram Depot, tram driver Joylene Smith was overwhelmed to learn that she will be driving the royal couple around the city. "I didn't know what to say. It's such a great honour," Miss Smith said. Transport Minister Terry Mulder said tomorrow would be a day Miss Smith, a tram driver for 7 years, would remember for a long time. Bit of an understatement, that, I reckon. Premier Ted Baillieu said the specially prepared tram would remain in public operation for the next year in honour of the Queen's visit. The Royal Tram will join Melbourne's tram network as another great icon of our city, Mr. Baillieu said. I was told after the 9 a.m. service this morning that there were actually two royal trams prepared in case one of them broke down. An old, rattling Z-class tram was given honour and dignity by the Queen's presence and the Queen's visit. And in fact, now we as people, citizens of Melbourne, can have the honour of travelling in the very same tram and perhaps sitting in the very same seat, although we're not actually sure which seat it was that Queen Elizabeth sat in when she was here. And one paper did quip that she didn't validate a ticket, as many of us apparently don't do when we travel on public transport either. In our gospel for tonight, the angel Gabriel announces the royal visit, the most important royal visit of all time, the visit of the God and King of the universe to our little planet. Let me read some of those verses to you again from Luke chapter 1. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Unlike the cheering crowds who thronged Federation Square for Queen Elizabeth's visit, Mary was not ecstatic when the angel appeared to her. Instead, she was troubled and frightened. And in fact, as we read through the infancy narratives in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, we discover that everyone who met one of God's angelic messengers was either terrified or troubled. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Mary, when Gabriel comes to her. Joseph, when the angel tells him that what Mary has conceived is from the Holy Spirit. And the shepherds who are out in the fields to whom the angels announce the good news of Jesus' birth. All of them are terrified. Why? Why is that? It's because these visitors from another realm are transcendent in glory and power. They are so far beyond human experience and so much more powerful and glorious than us that when we encounter them, we can't help but be frightened. And so the angel has to say, "Do not fear," to each and every one of them. And yet the angels are only created beings. Imagine how much more terrifying it is for us sinful human beings to come face to face with the God who created the whole universe, who in his glory and blazing power would consume us because we were sinful. We humans can't handle a face-to-face encounter with God. And yet the angel says something very important to Mary. He says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Now, the Greek word for favor here is the same as the word grace. Don't be afraid, Mary. God has chosen to show you his grace. His grace in that the royal visit is a humble visit. God does not come in power. He comes in humility to the lowest of the low. He comes with grace. Up until this point, people had always tried to keep God at arm's length because we, as sinful human beings, after Adam and Eve rebelled, could not stand to be in God's presence. So we push him away, we turn away from him. We say, "No, I can't handle it." We say, "God is distant. He doesn't keep his promises. He's forgotten about us." But now in the incarnation, God comes to us, not at arm's length, but at womb's depth, in grace. And just as that old and rattling Z-class tram was dignified and honored by the presence of Queen Elizabeth, in fact, much more so, our humanity is honored and dignified by Jesus in the incarnation, as the eternal second person of the Trinity folds himself into human flesh. As the one who spoke everything into being becomes part of the time and space that he created. As the one who threw the galaxies into place becomes smaller than a tiny little dot. As the one who nourishes and gives life to all things is himself nourished by a cord from his mother's placenta. It's no wonder that the incarnation divides history into before and after. The incarnation truly is the hinge of history. It's the thing on which everything turns. It is a gracious visit. Here's a bit of an aside. It's about God being born of a virgin. It's got nothing to do with sex and God thinking that sex is too icky for him to get involved with. After all, he invented it. He said to people, "Go and be fruitful and multiply." It's not about that. It's about humility. Because in the ancient world, a woman who was unmarried and had not born a child was about the lowest state that any person could be in. Jesus comes to us to honor our frail humanity. He comes down to our level to lift us up with him, to raise and redeem not only our bodies and our humanity, but the whole of this fallen creation by entering into it. God comes not in power, but in humility and grace, in forgiveness and love. I began by mentioning Queen Elizabeth too. I'd like to finish by mentioning a different Elizabeth, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. The story goes on in Luke chapter 1, after Mary receives the visit from Gabriel, and it goes like this from verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should visit me?" Why am I so favored that God should take on frail, dependent humanity for my sake to forgive my sins? Why are you so favored that our Lord should come as a human being to walk on this earth, the way which leads to our redemption? What is it about this planet that it should be so honored that the creator of the whole universe, vast as it is, should come for a royal visit to redeem and lift it up? It is the grace of God that we might be brothers and sisters of the King, sons and daughters of the Emperor, that God should choose to show his favor to us. And so tonight, as we sing many Christmas hymns, I'd like to finish with the words not of a Christmas hymn, but an Easter hymn, a Passion hymn. "And who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? Greetings, favored ones, the Lord is with you. Amen."